Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why. Yeah,
yeah. Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Hope you like to have fun, because we sure do around here. My website is www.jbsba.com, and I'm excited about Bob Negan being on the show with us. Bob's one of our great newer members of our Brain Trust. He's been with us a year or so now, and we're glad we found him. He's the president of Whiz Bang Training, and that's what he does. He helps small business owners and larger companies as well to make sure that when they put their best foot forward in the marketplace, they have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And today he's here to talk to us a little bit about retail, the future of retail. And he's our good friend, Bob Negan. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. I am glad to be here as always.
It's good to have you back. Bob, one of the things I'd like you to do, because I love hearing this story, take a half a minute or so and tell us about your background in retail and why you think you're qualified to talk about the future of retail.
Sure. Well, in 1981, I was 23 years old, and I had a couple of kites in my little kite bag, and I had just graduated from college, and I didn't want to get a real job. So I thought, hey, well, I'll open a kite store here in northern Michigan. I love northern Michigan. I love flying my kites. And
let me see if I got this straight, Bob. You're 21 years old and you got kites. So you didn't have a life. Is that what you're saying?
No, I had a wonderful life. I had just graduated from college and I didn't want to get a real life.
Okay.
And so I thought if I opened a kite store, that I'd be able to engage in my passion, make a lot of money. You know, I just, how hard can it be to run a store, right? How hard can it be to own a small business?
And you were going to make a lot of money. You were going to make a lot of money selling kites.
I thought I was.
Ah.
You know, I mean, I truly fell into that, what I affectionately call the field of dreams.
Right. Right.
I thought if I built it, they would come. And I really thought that if I, you know, that I would make $100,000 the first year, have a lot of fun, travel in the Bahamas in the winter. You know, I mean, I had it all figured out.
At what point did you land back down on earth with a thump?
Well, about 3 weeks into it, probably.
It took that long, huh?
Yeah. Well, we did. So my friend and I, he was a photographer, and he had a little gallery, and we found this space in Mackinac City. And we weren't getting much foot traffic because it was around the corner out of the way. So we decided to have an open house, and we hand-delivered invitations to every business person in town, and we put on our best clothes and, you know, bought some wine and cheese and donuts and coffee, and exactly zero people showed up.
All that work, nobody came. You gave a party and
nobody came. We had a party and nobody came. So
that must have hurt your feelings a little bit.
No. I was young and had a thick skin, so I just figured we needed to keep plugging away, and that's what we did. You know, what we learned to do early on, I brought my brother on the first year. He had just graduated from high school, and I hired him to be a kite flyer for me. But what we learned early on was that it was about two things, creating an experience for our customers and then parlaying that experience into relationships. And
in that way, Bob, you were really visionary, in my opinion, from a retail standpoint. I mean, you in the early 80s, that wasn't really – the retail was changing. Retail really started changing in the 70s.
That's right.
Significantly. But even in the early 80s, other people still weren't talking about that much. And so I got to take my hat off to you.
Well, thank you. You know, and it wasn't because I was a brilliant visionary. It's because we needed to make some money.
It was necessity, huh?
And nobody needs a kite. And that was one of the first things that we learned, is that nobody needed what we had. So if you came into our store, we realized that if we didn't get out on the floor and talk to you and make it exciting, we weren't going to get a beer and a burger that night.
Right,
So that's what we did. And then through the years, going back to your original question, we ended up having several stores, including stores in a mall, stores in downtown, stores in tourist areas.
You branched out into yo-yos too, didn't you?
Absolutely. And then in the late 90s, we learned how to sell yo-yos and rolled out a whole series of kiosks in malls that we called Yo-Yo Universes. And in December of 1999, we sold about $2 million worth of yo-yos and yo-yos accessories. So in the world of small retail, I've sort of been in all the locations and done all the experiences. I almost grew myself broke a couple times. And so I'm a retail veteran. I'm a mom and pop veteran.
Stand by, Bob. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I want Bob to help us shed some of the baggage that we might have, 20th century baggage, and put on some of the new stuff for the 21st century to make sure we are successful in this century. 20 Tales, stay with us.
Don't let the sun catch you crying.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a good visit with our good friend Bob Negan, the president of Whiz Bang Training. Bob, give us your website, please.
www.whizbangtraining. There is an H in the whiz, so W-H-I-Z-B-A-N-G training, T-R-A-N-I-N-G, I believe that is, .com.
One of those, that's how you spell it, I think. Bob, we're talking, folks, we're talking about the future of retail, of small business retail. You actually call it, you have a name for it, you call it independent specialty retail. Why is it important that we call it that instead of small business retail?
Well, because most of when I consider or my specialty, my market, the where I come from, it's independent, meaning usually it's a mom and pop. It's somebody that owns their own store, maybe two, maybe three. And it's specialty, meaning that they have something that they specialize in. You know, I sold kites. People are florists. People sell running shoes. So that's sort of a generic industry term, independent specialty retail.
All right. Now, one of the things that I think is important is that we recognize that the 21st century, even though we're only 5 years into it, is significantly different from the 20th century retail environment. And it really, as I've told you, I believe it started about 30 years ago. But I do believe that when the calendar ticked 2000, 5 years ago, I really do think that the world changed, and certainly for retail. And it seems to me, Bob, and I'll get your thoughts on this, that we if small business retail, if the independent specialty retail folks don't jettison their 20th century baggage and come into the 21st century completely, they're not going to make it.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jim. I think that in the next 5 to 10 years, in the way that things are changing, the speed at which things are changing, I think it's closer to five, you're going to see a seismic shift in this mom-and-pop, specialty independent retail. Because most, if you go into your downtown, I mean your downtown and your listeners' downtown, most shop owners are keeping 10 to 5:30 or 10 to 6 hours. They're closed on Sunday. They don't train their staffs well, and they live in the world, like you said, 30 years ago, if you had the only florist in town and somebody needed to get flowers, they had to go to you. But now this morning when I was preparing for this interview, I went to Google and put florists into my search. And there are 6,120,000 results for florists, meaning you can't behave like you're the only flower shop in town anymore because people can get on the phone, get on the internet, and buy someplace else. So the change is going to come. The people who live in that old world are going to go away. They just won't be able to survive.
Well, one of the things that I think, you said, you used an important word a minute ago. You said people don't need a kite.
Right.
And one of the things that has been a watershed revelation for me was when I started thinking about the difference between what people need and what they want.
Right.
And what I found is that, yes, people need things, but what they need is a commodity, and that's what they get at Walmart.
Yes.
What they want is what they that means customized. And
yes.
If they want it and they want it customized, that means how can you put a price on that? And that means they're willing to pay more. That's higher margins. And Walmart can't give people what they want. They can only give them what they need. We can't give people what they need, only what they want. So why don't we focus on that?
Absolutely. And let's take it a step farther. People don't. People are interested in the relationship.
Right.
So what I coined a term, and I call it the big switch. And here's what all specialty retailers, what your mom and pops, what all small business people need to do. They need to make the big switch. They need to switch between to. There's actually two levels, but the first level is they need to quit thinking of that person in their store or that person in their office as a transaction. And make the switch
right.
to start thinking of that person as a person with whom they have a relationship. So they're not selling an insurance policy. They're selling people a lifetime of insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the smart business people in the 20th century, 21st century are going to do is they're going to start intensely focusing on building relationships with their customers. It's not product-driven anymore. It's relationship-driven.
When people decide that they need what you sell, as you said, Bob, they can go online and get it a million places.
Right.
They need to think, not only do I need this, but I know who I want to get it from because I don't want to miss that experience. It's not just the thing that I want. I want to have an experience getting it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talked about the people who are living in the past. The people who are living in the past are always reacting against the lower priced vendors.
Right.
People who are who live in the future are saying, look, I am going to proactively develop this relationship so that when they do want to shop, they don't think of anybody but me. They're parking
right.
their business with
Absolutely.
Me. Do you agree with that?
There's no question about it. And here's how I say it, Bob. The price war is over, and
yep.
we lost. So don't. Why would you fight a war that's already over, especially one that we've already lost? It's
Absolutely.
History. In fact, if at any moment that you imagine, if you have any emotion of fighting a price war, that's a moment when you're losing. When you've got a failure wish.
Yes.
And when we come back, Bob's going to talk to us about a couple of groups that he thinks we need to avoid and one we need to try to be. And those groups we're going to talk about, and the importance of a trade group and a trade organizations in all of this thing, all this that we're talking about with Bob Negan. Right after these messages, we'll be right back. Tintail, stay with us.
My heart is flying.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, visiting with our good friend Bob Negan. And Bob, your website is whizbangtraining.com. So that means you're not selling kites anymore.
No, I'm not. In 1999, my brother, who was my partner, came to me and said, are you interested in selling your share of the business? And one of the things that I saw that I learned when I was trying to become successful was that I went looking for information, and there really wasn't a lot of it out there. And after 20 years, we had we had gotten a handle on what it takes to be a successful retail store, and I knew that there was a need in the market, and I love to teach. I love to help people, so this became a natural progression of the things that I've learned and the things that I did. So,
well, it's obvious that you're passionate. It's obvious that you're passionate about this, and that you speak from experience, not from some ivory tower. And I think that's a valuable thing to have. Bob, talk to us about two groups that you describe as that you break retail independent specialty retail folks into two basic groups.
Yes. We have the old school, the ones that you talked about, living in the past, and I call them the soon-to-be-going-out-of-business group. And
they're the ones with the baggage, aren't they?
They're the ones with the baggage. You know, I mean, so
No website, resisting anything to do with the Internet and that kind of thing.
even at a more basic level than that, refusing to keep customer-focused hours.
Right.
Jim, so if you're open from, if you're a store and you're open from 10 to 6 and short hours on Saturday and closed on Sunday, your primary shopping group, your primary customer group is the unemployed.
Right.
Now, I don't know about your listeners, but if when I'm in business, I want customers that have money. And so the soon to be out of business live in the past. They live in that I was the only florist in downtown world.
And I'm going to run this business the way I want it to be, not the way my customers want it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You just hit the crucial distinction.
Right.
The people that will be successful are going to be incredibly customer focused. They're going to keep hours that reflect the needs of their customers. They're going to use technology to build relationships. I am writing a book right now on how store and small business people can use email to become a broader resource,
right,
to develop these relationships, to do all these great things.
What about the going to be successful group?
The going to be successful group are, you know, they're going to be all about marketing. They're going to be about their customers. They're going to be about creating experiences. They're going to, the shopping experience is going to be fun. They're going to do lots of promotions. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with Stu Leonard, the supermarket guy in
mm-hmm.
out east. You know, and he's got
mm-hmm.
roller coasters in his supermarkets, for crying out loud. Now, if I've got a 1,500-square-foot gift shop in a downtown, I can't put a roller coaster in my store, but by golly, I can train my staff to have a lot of fun, and I can get out there and do cool things and make my customers understand how much I love them.
The restaurants that are going to be wildly successful in the 21st century are the ones that don't just serve food, but they serve theater as well.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about a play, folks. I'm talking about the way they deliver what their product.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
Bob, let me stop you for a second.
Sure.
I apologize, but I want to make sure that you talk about trade groups.
Yeah.
I've got just about a minute, and I want to make sure this is an interesting point that you make about trade groups. I want you to give us that thought, please.
Sure. Trade groups, trade associations, and vendor groups, you know, dealer meetings, have a critical part in this change because so many retailers want to be successful, and they don't know how. And so trade groups need to focus on business education over product education. And I think that's a critical thing. And the progressive trade associations are going to give them business skills because that's what's needed.
Don't just show me how to use the product better. Show me how to make sure that my customers have the right experience when they find the product in our stores, or how they find it in our stores, and how they use it.
Absolutely, that's exactly correct. And they have trade associations have a critical role in this continuing evolution of specialty retail.
Bob Negan, thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time.
www.whizbangtraining.com.
Thank you, Bob. Bob Negan, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back another day. I promise. He's one of our top Brain Trust members. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.